Hey, what's going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. And you guessed it, my friends, yet another amazing guest this morning. We are thrilled and excited to have, a wonderful lady from the DC area, I believe. She's a lawyer turned digital marketer, and we're going to be hearing her story and hearing how she did it as always. If you want to get a text message reminder on our on your cell phone, just like I get on my cell phone every morning, just to make sure it's working, I'll usually be here. You can text WUL to 813-296-8553. If you want to get started with any of our programs, you can go to legendarymarketer.com/enroll at any time throughout the interview and check those out. With that being said, let's get into it. Rozzy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Dave. It's an honor.
Oh, it's my honor. My pleasure. Thanks for being here. You from DC, correct?
That's right. Yep.
And are you still practicing law?
I am. Yeah. Fun times.
Always, right? Always. Well, that's interesting because, you know, when we were all growing up, there was a couple of professions that were pretty acceptable to say when we were asked what we wanted to be when we grew up: a doctor, a lawyer, a baseball player. What has brought you or motivated you to want to start a digital marketing, either side hustle or new career, already being in a job, a business, an industry, a career that from the outside looking in is everything that anybody would ever want out of a career?
Yeah. So I just wanted something different. I have practiced law for a couple of years and, you know, intellectually it's very stimulating, but I mean, if we're being honest, I graduated with 6 figures of student loan debt. And, you know, even from the outside looking in, it looks like I have a good job. Mm-hmm. You know, in order to have the good job, I have to live in a big city that's expensive, got a lot of student loans, just life happens. And so at the end of the month, there wasn't a whole lot left over. And I just thought to myself, you know, this has been happening for a couple of years. If I want something different, I got to do something different. And that's what I did.
Wow. That's interesting. Yet another story of, you know, the student loan debacle. How big of a deal is this? I mean, is this something that we're not talking about in America enough? I mean, what is your perspective as somebody who, just shared what you shared? Are we preying on our youth? I mean, is it a scam? Are people not being are they not being informed enough about the other side of the coin? Take us back and give us your perspective about what you wish was different and what you think is wrong with the way that our kids are being introduced and even primed to, you know, take that on as an only option.
Yeah. So, I mean, back to my 18-year-old self, which is a long time ago, by the way, you know, you're accepted into college and it's just, you know, so many congratulations and, you know, you're just riding high on that acceptance and taking out the loans, excuse me, in order to go to college. That's just like an afterthought. It's like, oh yeah, that's, you know, you got accepted, so you go. And so I was never really sat down and explained like, okay, this is how much you're taking out. These are what your payments are going to look like. This is what your job is going to be able to afford you. Do you still want to take out these payments? No one ever had that conversation with me. It was always just an obvious, you got into college, obviously you're going to take out the loans. And so I think that we need some more financial literacy training. I mean, I think we need to normalize, you know, maybe taking 1 or 2 years off after either high school or college, just to really make sure you're doing whatever it is that you want to do and whatever is feasible for you to do, depending on whatever lifestyle you want to have. So, I mean, I don't think that it's a very good solution to rely on the government to just kind of like, after the fact, let's just erase all the loans. Because, I mean, that's not a really viable solution. Yeah. I think we should, you know, from the get-go, explain to people this is what's going to happen, you know, 5, 10, 15 years out. Because when you get out into the real world and you have all these bills to pay, you're just like, well, is this the American dream? This is not what I was taught.
Yeah. And is it even realistic to rely on the government to pay off our loans? I mean, my understanding is that student loan debt is one of the only debt that is actually unforgivable, even in a bankruptcy situation. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. It stays with you until death, which is crazy.
Kind of like taxes, right?
Yeah.
Like if you owe taxes, I mean, it's sort of like that money. If you borrowed, it's government owed money, unforgivable in a bankruptcy. So it's actually unforgivable. It's actually there's no, and sure, there's political talking points every now and then about forgiving student loan debt, but that, you know, and maybe we could do that if we weren't spending money out in other outrageous ways, you know, maybe outside of the country or whatever. Obviously, that's what we argue about in politics every day. Unfortunately, Americans, oftentimes get the shorter end of the stick, especially those who are hardworking and who are going after a career and trying to do something with their lives. That strikes me that you share that. I wonder how many other people share that they weren't sat down, that they just were, they were accepted. What a sales process, right? And a deceptive one at that, right? Sat down or accepted, and then just assumed that you were going to go take out the loans without any kind of conversation about, hey, here's what this is going to look like. Let's do a basic kind of budget. You know, this is probably about what you're going to make. This is what it's going to cost you to live in, you know, one of the main cities, you know, which is where the majority of the legal firms are. If you're going to go, or if you're going to college in this area, hey, here's what law firms are paying. Here's what apartments cost. Here's what, you know, gas cost. Here's what you can expect. Here's how long you can expect to pay these payments off. And I mean, do you still have student loan debt to this day?
Oh yeah. Like 125K. And this is with scholarships, by the way.
That's shocking. You know, that's shocking. And you've been paying on these debts for how long?
I graduated in 2019. So ever since, there was the COVID moratorium. So, you know, that little blip, but other than that, since 2019.
Yeah. Wow. That's fascinating. Thanks for sharing that. You know, it's helpful. It's helpful. I know it's a little vulnerable and personal information, but it's really helpful for us to get a perspective about, you know, what some of the alternatives are out there. There's also other alternative businesses that, and not only alternatives, but what I believe is sort of like an elephant in the middle of the room and a sleeping giant that not only is big, but is getting bigger every day as people. And no wonder kids want to become YouTubers. No wonder it's one of the most popular. I mean, I don't blame them. And I actually think that they're smart. I'm rooting for kids. I love your take some time off. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be a lawyer or a doctor, take a year or two off, really think about it. Hopefully you have somebody who's cares about you enough to at least help you understand all the options and understand kind of what, and hopefully they listen to you as well. If you're a young person who's saying, hey, I want to do YouTube, or I want to do affiliate marketing, or I want to do something, hopefully that's where real mentorship and good parenting could really come in, right? For our, or even some sort of service at our schools, or some sort of buffer between high school and college. Man, we could do so much better in that area. Right. And no wonder we have, you know, trillion plus dollars of, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but student loan debt, credit card debt. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I think the credit card debt is the thing that goes sort of hand in hand with student loan debt, yeah. Right?
Yes. And you got to put on the credit card if you got to pay the student loans.
Right. You got to pay the unforgivable stuff. You know, so you pay the optional stuff that's not, that, you know, it's not really optional, but put it on the credit card. it's really kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it's unfortunate. No wonder you started a dadgum online market. You're seeing people who are, you know, you're going, gee whiz, low to no cost startups. You know, I mean, I can make money or have the opportunity to make money when I'm, you know, doing my main job. What sort of light bulbs went off when you saw what we were talking about here at Legendary about the business models that we were teaching the core for? I mean, what attracted you? What resonated with you?
Yeah, so I, you know, saw on social media this opportunity, and, you know, being the nerdy researcher that I am, I just took to Google and was like, okay, well, what is this digital affiliate marketing thing? I had honestly never heard of it. And I mean, you probably know this better than I do, but I mean, Forbes is going crazy with just putting out article after article after article on how lucrative the digital marketing space is. And so I was like, oh, wow, these people actually might know what they're talking about. And, you know, one article in particular really kind of stuck with me. It was, you know, Forbes saying, oh, I'm so sorry, my fire alarm is going off.
Your attention, please. The fire alarm in the building has been activated. Cease operations immediately.
Proceed. They're testing fire alarms, so we're okay.
Okay. I was going to say, please.
There's not a fire. They emailed us and said that they're going to be testing the fire alarm. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so sorry. Do you want to keep going?
Well, just mute yourself until it's done. I'm going to mute you until it's done. All right. Well, just for all of your eyes or your ears' sake, we'll just mute her until it's done there. You know, I've had a few people on the show, and just give me a thumbs up whenever it is done. We've had a few people on the show who, you know, overdoing nearly 1,000 episodes, have had fire alarms going off. And you know, I always am like, well, go. If it's a real fire alarm, don't sit, you know, shut the damn computer, turn off the phone. This is important, but it's not more important than you getting the hell out of a damn building if it's on fire. So I wonder how many of you are, you know, relating to this story and this experience of the student loans, and what your opinion is on, you know, what needs to change, or how you could share that if you're in the online marketing space, you know, and you're talking about adding extra skills to your life, who you are, so you can, you know, do exactly as Rozzy's doing. You know, how many of you could talk about this? How many of you have experience with this? Again, if it relates to your niche. I mean, if you're in a different niche that's talking about, you know, that's dog training, that's woodworking, that's, it may not be as relevant. But if you're in a niche where you're talking about adding skills, adding streams of income, you know, building up your, you know, starting a side hustle or a new career, how many of you have the experience that you could talk about that and help people understand what is really going on in America, in people, around people's kitchen tables, between them and their laptops, that they're not talking about particularly out in the open, because it's not real. I mean, quite frankly, I give Rozzy and anybody who shares this so much credit, because it can even be something that people are ashamed to talk about. It's like, as you get older, it's like, man, I can't believe that I did that. And now I don't want to even pursue the industry that I have or even worse, you know, you never did pursue it. You know, you have the degree and you never really even, you just got a job that you could get in a different industry. And you realized, oh snap, I got this degree that I've never even really used, right? So, but you still have to pay the bill for it. Rozzy, how you doing on the fire alarm? Still going off? Okay, no problem. Hey, it's fine. We've got some people who are identifying. Totally relate. Kathy says $95,000 in student loan debt. Toyana says that she chose the military because of this, you know, which, I mean, think about that, going into the military, putting yourself in harm's way, essentially, thank you for your service, in order to avoid, you know, possibly taking on significant debt. I mean, my Lord. I currently run background checks. I also have the paralegal degree with my notary, and it's still not enough. Darn, Rozzy's story is so hot at setting off fire alarms. We're some goofballs. Good one, Catherine. Elizabeth said, the student loan company I have is making it nearly impossible for me to find my account in order to pay them. It's crazy. They make it so hard. Well, damn, they need to get their ish together, don't they? One of the best things my kids did before college was take 2 years and serve for our church. But in reality, universities are overcharging and under-delivering on degrees that are crap. Whew, Connie ain't afraid to say it how it is. Connie says $3,000 for one class. I work in financial services, and this is a conversation that comes up to start helping their children with a plan to save for college as soon as they are born. And even then, it's still not enough. Huh. Unbelievable. Tristan said, I went to flight school and came out with $150,000 in debt and was making $10 an hour as a flight instructor, living in my parents' basement, and had to spend more money to actually make it to the airlines. Now I'm in fitness. Interesting. Taking on debt for college is discussed as an investment in your future in K-12 education without discussing the downside. Well, that is... Isn't that the very definition of deceptive marketing? never worked a day in the field I went to school for. I had a go bill and still have $67,000 left. $85,000 student loan debt for a degree I can't use. Formal education is necessary. It just needs to be affordable. My son is an engineering student currently. Becky, I don't disagree with that. That's a great point. And I think that we need to not be all, you know, Rozzy's not all one way or the other. I didn't go to college. So I didn't finish high school, for God's sakes. So I'm, more interested in you guys' perspectives and have heard the story over and over again for the past 13 years. I have debt for a master's I'm not using, $22,000. I am doing this to show my adult kids who went to college and help pay for their loans. I can definitely relate. I wasn't educated on the impact of student loans. Jeff comes right out. College is the real scam. Okay, my man. My man's not pulling any punches this morning. The loan companies also discourage paying down the principal. Man. Hey, Pat Riley says, and is it the Pat Riley from the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat? I don't know. We're in the NBA playoffs. Let us know, Pat. Credit card debt is $1.13 trillion. I guess you're talking about in America, household debt is $17.5 trillion. I would think that would include mortgages. My daughter is graduating in May due to the competitive market. I'm encouraging her to do this while she looks. Hey, little perspective from mom is never hurt. $200,000 owed for my son's college. Mama mia, these numbers. Hey, look at this one. Kayla can definitely relate. My husband and I came in together at about $300,000. I assume you're saying came into the marriage, both in healthcare and have a salary cap. We are only 36 with four children and have to expand our knowledge to make income in other days to make it work. Hey, Jenny. Wow. Wonder where you got that fact from. That's a powerful one. More than 70% of college graduates don't work in their field. Most that do hate their job. Well, I mean, that's a bold statement. Again, if you can back that up with facts, some sort of a study or something, I would love to hear about that or post that in the comments. If you're going to go to college, find a way to get it paid for without debt. Yeah, I mean, that always is the idea. Getting a scholarship, whatever. Unfortunately, that doesn't always happen. What's worse is when you go all into a career that you find you don't enjoy at all and you're miserable every day. Add debt on top of that and it's a real regret. Now that I can say would be a fact. No lies detected there. I'm almost 60 and still have $125,000 to pay off on my school loan. My Lord, Marin. My Lord. Whoa, Naomi, $250,000 in student loan debt. Teen mom on welfare. I sure was going to take those student loans. Damn. This is This is real. Thank you all for sharing this. I got a master's in organization leadership, and I train dogs. Completely different field, but I guess I use my degree somewhat. Hey, you're leading those dang dogs. Thanks for sharing that. My son is graduating from med school, just got an amazing job, but cannot afford a house because of student loans, yet he gets a sign-on bonus. Not enough. It's nuts. Broke today in our 60s after college for myself and four kids. $125,000 in student loans. I mean, my Lord, folks. The stories never stop. Did associates, bachelor's, and master's finish in 2019. The balance never seems to go down. Oh my gosh, friends. Wow. It's sad that student loan debt is at $1.6 trillion, is greater than credit card debt at $1.3 from the U.S. debt clock in real time. Thanks, Chez. People more likely will die with this debt, so we need to turn our creativity into earnability. I wonder what happens when with student loan debt and credit card debt when you die. Anybody know? I'm sure you're good.
We're good.
Oh, okay, perfect.
So sorry about that.
Hey,
that's
no,
why you're live, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is the power of going live, and we are live, my friends. There's nothing we can do about it. Hopefully that goes to show you all that you don't need to be perfect in your content creation. And, you know, the more real it is, oftentimes the better. So you tell us what it's been like as you've started, you know, creating content. I mean, you know, putting yourself out there, what has been some of the limiting beliefs that you've had to overcome in order to execute with this?
Oh, I mean, so many. I came into this thinking to myself, well, you've only ever excelled at, you know, academic things. So like, why would you excel at something that's like so not in your wheelhouse? And so I had major imposter syndrome. I'm like, I'm not this outgoing, you know, fun to watch person on TV. Who's gonna look at me? But I just kind of took a page out of, you know, I think it was Gary Vee who said, just document, don't create. And so instead of creating, you know, social media where I'm like, you know, dancing or trying to be funny, which I can't do any of those things, why don't I just tell people my story and just say, you know, hey, I started affiliate marketing. Here's what I'm learning. If you're interested, DM me. And at first it was crickets, but eventually people started DMing me like, hey, what is this thing you're doing? Like, why are you always going out here? And, you know, that just kind of like snowballed from there.
Mm. So what was it like for you to get on camera and start to create videos? I mean, what's that kind of journey been like?
I mean, I have never been on camera. So I hate my voice. I hate the way I look on camera. Everything is just wrong. But you just kind of have to do things scared. I know that's not the most satisfying answer, but if you really have a desire to do something, you gotta know that like this desire is so much bigger than whatever my fears are. So you just got to do it. And it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be good. I look at some of my earlier stuff and I'm like, oh my gosh, but yeah. You just do it and you get better. It's, you know, practice makes better. It doesn't make perfect. It just makes better.
Yeah. You're doing this with a current career as a lawyer. You're doing some, what do you recommend for somebody who is wanting to do something on the internet, but they don't want to particularly have that cross blend in with their current career and, you know, wants more privacy, wants more without going totally faceless.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I blocked all my family and friends, you know, sorry to tell them that, but I did, cause I just, you know, didn't want them to know what I was doing. You don't have to use your name. You know, like Rozzy is my name, but like, you don't have to use your name if you don't want to. And you know, it's very unlikely if your family and friends aren't in the, you know, side hustle space or whatever, like it's very unlikely that the algorithm is going to push your content to them. So it's really not as scary as you would think. And I haven't had a whole lot of overlap with my friends, and the friends that I have overlapped with, they're just like, hey, that's cool. You're funny online. You know, they're cheering me on. So it's not as big of a doomsday situation as you might think.
Do you find that it's been I don't know that I'd use the word easy, but attainable, achievable, to create an audience from a cold market. I mean, sometimes we hear occasionally people say, hey, I've marketed to my friends and family, or I mean, have you been surprised by how you can build clients from strangers? I mean, there's a saying that I've always loved, which is it's much easier to turn a client into a friend than a friend into a client. I mean, have you found that to be true yourself? And I would assume also in your legal career, but I'm sure it, you know, people will, I feel like doctors, lawyers, you know, super traditional jobs like that, people will give you a little bit more credit and kind of even, I'm sure doctors get annoyed by friends and family asking. I don't know how much legal advice you get asked by friends and family, but have you been, okay, so I guess, have you been surprised, or what has been your response or feeling to building an audience cold, knowing that you have completely blocked friends and family and that everybody in your audience and or customer list is somebody who you generated completely cold and have turned them either lukewarm, warm, or hot into a buyer?
Yeah, I mean, that's where the beauty of Instagram, you know, my platform of choice is, because it's, you know, if I look at my insights, for whatever reason, Instagram pushes my reels to non-followers. I don't really know why it does that. But so the way I connect with my followers is just go to the stories, go to the DMs. And, you know, you can just pop in. I think they give you like 60 seconds. So it's not very long. And you just say, hey, here's one thing that I learned today about affiliate marketing. If you're interested in, or if you have other questions, just DM me. And that's usually how I get those conversations going. It's not just me like sell. It's just like, hey, you know, here's something that I learned, or here's something that you might find interesting. And, you know, it's just about starting conversations. And it's, you know, these people might never become my customers. I really could care less, but, you know, I just want to create a sense of community where people at least know that this is an option. Cause I didn't know this was an option. And, you know, the old saying, knowledge is power, really, really does have some force here. So I'm just like, let's just use the stories to get the information out there. People can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah. And you really have, I mean, in quite frankly, we saw this a lot of people do as well. They were sharing even after your fire alarm stopped, and I was sharing their stories about the student loan debt. And the, I mean, and it's not that you're bashing. It's not that I'm bashing. It's just, you know, although maybe somebody should, I mean, just to wake America up, for God's sakes. It's just about, right, getting information into people's hands. That's why the world has evolved as much as it has, is because now suddenly we've got information in people's hands, and they have all this information that they never had before. You know, before, I mean, think about it. We used to get like our worldly information from the guy who came around, or the girl who knocked on doors and sold you an encyclopedia. You know what I mean? It was like, that's where we've come from. And now it's like, Google it, right? Like, it's at your fingertips. It's on your phone. You know what I mean? Like, the only way to study for college or courses or things of that nature was in a dadgum book. And then all of a sudden now it's at our fingertips. We've even got artificial intelligence that's spitting back out answers to us, doing thinking for us, writing scripts and books and coming up with ideas. Talk to us a little bit about Instagram. What have you learned about the platform? Why do you like it? What have you tested on it? I mean, what just stands out to you about something that has worked or that you've learned in the past few months of testing things on Instagram and coming to favor it as your sort of preferred platform?
Yeah. So, I mean, Instagram has a ton of features that it just other platforms just don't have. So like I said, the stories are a really good way for me to connect with my existing followers. You know, same for DMs. If I'm trying to grow my audience, then I, you know, put out a reel, just, you know, giving information out, you know, people can do whatever they want with it. Carousels are becoming, they're kind of coming back, which is basically where you just like post, you know, pictures essentially that you can, you know, make in Canva, or you can just like take a picture of yourself and just put some text over it. Those are a good way for me to connect with my followers, but for whatever reason, Instagram likes to put my carousels out to my followers, but not so much my reels. So whatever that means for Instagram, it's just, you gotta know your analytics, and you gotta understand like what Instagram is pushing for you. And you just gotta like kind of ride that wave.
So talk to us a little bit about what are analytics for the person who's just brand new kind of on here. What are analytics and what are some of the analytics that you're particularly paying attention to? Because you are likely much more analytical than I am. I have a hard time paying attention to hardly any analytics. I just, I'll look at likes, video views, leads, sales, but there's so many more analytics you can look at, and these platforms are actually giving us so much to see. I almost feel like it's too much. What are analytics and what are you paying attention to?
Yeah. So if you have a creator account on Instagram, then it, under your bio, it'll say professional dashboards. You just kind of click on that. And, it'll basically tell you within the last, 30 days, how many followers have you had, how many likes, how many, page views have you had? And you can also go individually to each reel or each post that you look at and that you post, and you can, just kind of look at what the analytics are for that. Instagram really likes shareable content. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be a talking head, boring professor type video, but just where you're just sharing some information. And if you can get a lot of shares, then, people always talk about, the Instagram algorithm hates me. I'm like, well, if you can get people to share your content, you're basically beating the algorithm because, they're pushing it for you. You're not relying on the algorithm. So I mainly look at, how many people are sharing my content. Okay, well, what did I do in that video? Okay, let's just create that. And so those are mainly what I'm looking for. New followers are nice, but, I think that that's more of a vanity metric than anything.
So if you have somebody, if you have shares on a piece of content, that's the content that I need to create more of.
Exactly.
Right. Are you able to see how many people saved your content?
You can see that too. Yeah. And that's a good indicator. Probably if I was going to rank it shares and then saves, just because, people, if they want to come back to my content, I'm like, okay, well, there must have been something there that, I'd kind of hit on. Let's hit on that again in future stuff. Oh, do I get a hat throw?
Well, I've been so enthralled with your story. I had to give you a spinning hat throw. I also read Rachel, shareable content. I haven't heard this nugget before. I think that's a platinum boulder. So often we're looking at followers, right? Mm-hmm. Gotta have how many? Oh my God, I only have 500 followers or whatever it is. I'm so, I'm so lame. I'm so embarrassed, da, 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 da. And it's honestly, you shouldn't even be looking at that. You should be looking. The way to grow your followers is to get in and look at the content. This is what I hear you saying, and I agree with it. Get in and look at your dadgum content. Stop paying attention to the scoreboard up there, your follower count, how many people are following me, and get into your analytics and look at how many people are sharing what content, saving what content, and then just remake more of that type of content, right? Because that's the type of content that is not only the most valuable content in people's eyes, but if Instagram sees people sharing it and saving it, that is also the way that you rank. That is also, in my experience, in my opinion, and also just what I've read and what I know, right, which is enough. It's enough to be dangerous. These platforms are also ranking content that they decide to push out based on shares as a top indicator that people are enjoying this content. Saves, and it's common sense, right? It takes more. If I'm saving a piece of content, it's a lot. That is harder to do, and it's an indicator that I want to keep that much more than a like. Like is easy to do. A like is probably the least most powerful indicator to these platforms of whether to push it, and it should also be the least important indicator to you,
right?
I would think a share, like you said, a share and a save, I almost think those are neck and neck. Commenting, and then down being the now there's some other indicators that are probably the platforms looking at, which they can see. Watch time, how long are people watching your video? How many times are they watching your video?
Right.
Are they watching it over and over again because it's important or that they want to hear it again? That also indicates to the platform that, wow, this is a hot piece of content. People are not only watching it all the way through, they're watching it multiple times. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's some indicators that are much more important from your perspective as a marketer and a content creator. The things that you listed are much bigger and better and more important indicators to get caught up on if you're going to get caught up on something, and you should. It's all about looking in the right direction.
Right.
Instead of looking in the wrong direction. And this is an analogy for life, isn't it?
Right.
It's like, keep your eye on the prize. The prize is not your follower count, because that'd be like watching paint dry. You can sit there and watch that. You can watch it 24/7. It's not going to grow on its own.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have your eye on the prize, which is looking at the types of content that is actually, that people actually want. And you're bringing up the wonderful point of that there's some very specific indicators, and it's probably not what you think. Now, that's a whole series of videos, and you could talk about that on social media. What we've just talked about here is a wonderful example of prime content that people would love to know about and learn about in terms of creating content, or in terms of learning about how to build a business online, how the internet works, right? How do you come up with content ideas? Well, you know, this is something that stumps a lot of people, and then they end up just kind of parroting other things that they've heard. What is your kind of approach and strategy to come up with the idea and then make sure that it gets executed and posted?
Yeah, so I'm, you know, kind of a busy lady. I have a full-time job, so I try to like kill as many birds with one stone as I can. So I try to give my email list a lot of, you know, helpful tips on, you know, if they're interested in starting affiliate marketing, here's what I would do. So I'll write an email, you know, kind of what I just give to you, like, hey, here's some things that you should be looking at for on your Instagram account. And then I'll just like turn that into a story, or I'll turn that into a piece of content. And usually people seem to like that. I mean, and it doesn't have to be like a fancy, you know, anything. It can just be some B-roll footage of me, you know, chopping mushrooms in my kitchen with some text overlay. And then, you know, make sure that you have in the caption a really, you know, rich caption where people are actually going to want to keep scrolling and keep reading, because that, you know, speaking of your watch time, that's going to increase the watch time. I'm not a huge fan of, you know, the tempting hooks and then, you know, 3 seconds later, read the caption. Like, I want to have a little bit more where people are like, oh, I want to keep reading more, not just read the caption. So just, you know, try to marry your hook with your caption, have it, you know, just kind of flow into each other. That to me has been a pretty good recipe for getting people to, you know, watch my videos more, watch it longer, and also, you know, start sharing and saving.
Yeah, I love that. There's a lady called Peaceful Barb, and then she has a daughter who creates content with her and on her own, and they do very simple. You everybody should go look her up, Peaceful Barb. And she talks about kind of therapeutic, you know, personal boundaries, personal development kind of stuff. It really is about self-growth, becoming a better version of yourself, but it's from through the eyes of kind of healing, mm-hmm. And healing trauma and so forth, versus kind of motivation and more of the more of that angle. It's really more, she's a therapist, so she's pushing out content that is probably useful and that she's an expert on and learned about over the years of working with her clients. And one of the things that they do is they go through, usually on a video, you know, 5 signs that you're with a XYZ person, or 6 ways to heal your body from childhood trauma, or, you know, whatever it is. And they'll go through the, and it's so obvious that they're reading off of like a piece of paper, but it doesn't matter because they're just authentic. They're genuine. You can tell the information's good. It's better because they actually thought it out and just wrote it down and have it probably sitting there on a sticky note or a piece of paper or legal pad hanging up, taped to their computer, whatever it is, and they're just reading. And then they use the editor to just edit out. So it's like boom, 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 boom. And then they say number five's in the caption below. You know, so they give 80% of the meat and potatoes in the video and then point you down to the caption. This is pointing people down to the caption, getting them to read the caption, whether it was a short 3-second intro and down to the caption, or like you say, giving them more meat and potatoes in the video and then down to the caption, has been a real trend with people, you know, pushing people to read in the caption. And you're right. It increases watch time. It, as they're reading, the video is usually continuing to play. Or I would assume Instagram can tell that you're still looking at that, that person's post, right? Right. So the watch time, if you will, or the read time would still be credited to that particular content creator. And it's a nice way to just, I think more people are reading stuff nowadays than they are watch, you know, how do you blend your, do you put captions on every video, and how do you feel about how people consume content in terms of, are they blasting the audio where they're watching it, or are they most likely being forced to read it because they are at work or they don't want to blast their audio around their kids or on the couch with their spouse or whatever?
I mean, I think most people are probably, they need some type of caption. So if I'm going to be doing a talking head video, like I have to put captions in there. I can't just be, you know, me. And, you know, same thing if I, if it's just B-roll footage of me doing something in the background, you know, having a text overlay. Those videos for me have done much better as opposed to the videos where, you know, there's nothing on the screen other than just me talking. And, you know, the captions are just... I think the captions are kind of where it's at because it helps your watch time and also helps your content get delivered to the right people because you can, you know, the word SEO is, you know, kind of like a dreaded word out here, search engine optimization, but you can put a lot of like really rich keywords in your caption just to let the algorithm know, hey, okay, this should go to people who are interested in an online business. This should go to people who are interested in, you know, side hustles, that kind of thing. So it's really important, I think, to for you to think about the actual text on your screen, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, great advice. What have you learned about yourself throughout this journey that you is new to you, is a great reminder for you?
Yeah, I mean, I learned I should stop having imposter syndrome. I mean, it's been with me ever since, you know, ever since I was. So, and I was so scared of, you know, doing something like this because it was so outside of the norm of what I traditionally do. And I'm, you know, I had the limiting belief, well, you can only do the academic side of things. Like you're not entertaining. You'd have nothing of value to bring to the table. And, you know, I proved myself wrong, thankfully.
Yeah, and I mean that would be a reasonable thought was, hey, I'm a lawyer, you know. I mean, what's, you know, it's an identity, right? And I'm sure a lot of us have identities wrapped in whether it be our jobs, careers, or you know, like you said, which I've never been able to say, you know, I'm an academic guru or nerd or whatever however you would label yourself. And I don't particularly think being a nerd is a bad thing at all. I actually think it's quite cool now looking back on it, right? But yeah, it's like how many limits do we put on ourselves based on how we've sort of formed our identity versus letting just not having a putting a box around our identity and labeling it. What does, just before we move on, what does imposter syndrome mean to you? Like, just in case somebody's on here brand new, there's not an exact definition of it, right? It's different for everybody. Like, what does it mean for you? Like, how do you define imposter syndrome?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's, you know, looking around at other people who are doing something that you want to do and thinking, oh, I could never do that. Like, And even if I were to try to do that, like I'm going to be a complete fish out of water, like, and everyone's going to know. And it's just like the risk of like public humiliation almost. And we're so hard on ourselves. Like we're our biggest critics, and we just have to get it through our heads. Like these limiting beliefs are keeping us where we're at. And if you like where you're at, that's fine. But you know, I didn't really want to continue the next 40 years, you know, doing what I was doing. So it's like, you got to decide to yourself, like, okay, I have these fears. I recognize that I have these fears, but my desire to have a better and different life is much bigger than these fears. So that for me has just been a way to just get over the imposter syndrome. And I mean, it's still going to be there, but you just got to minimize it as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Very well said. And just the point has been so clear this morning. You are, you know, quite an interesting person, and also quite a, you know, quite knowledgeable, and quite have a extraordinary life experience of lots of things to talk about and share with people that they need to hear. So I hope that you'll keep sharing them and keep helping people in the way that you're feeling called to do so while helping yourself. I mean, it's truly a two-way street. You know, the beautiful thing about the information industry is that you help others while helping yourself, you know, and it's a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. I ranted on this a little bit yesterday's episode where I was on alone and kind of talking about the vision and kind of where we were going and what we were focused on. And I just said that we continue to double down on this business model because we like the information industry. It allows us to be able to sell quality stuff, give quality information. I've never, ever heard of anybody sending in a reply to somebody who sold, you know, coffee mugs or t-shirts or fidget spinners saying, God, that really changed my life, or that really helped me so much, right? Most of the time they get the product and they're like, God, this thing's a piece of crap, you know? And so I like the information game, you know, and I like the way that we do it, because we talked about at the beginning of the episode, the alternatives of that, and how, although it's socially acceptable, it's damn buried people, you know, it's people are buried in debt because of it, not a couple of $1,000s in debt, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands. And so, you know, and I also love that people can find us and explore us as marketers and content creators and, you know, information marketers on their own time without social pressure or peer pressure, right? There's no time limit. We have some people who take action on our content and take our recommendations immediately, and some who sit on it for 6 months and marinate and or longer. And I like that. I like this business model, and that's why I think that it's so, why it's continuing to grow, why Forbes is continuing to write on it, and people are continuing to talk about how lucrative and much of a big opportunity it is now and in the future. So I can't wait to follow your journey. Thanks for the really interesting conversation this morning, and I wish you all of the best. Stay legendary, Rozzy, and thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's a pleasure.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. All right, my friends, you can find Rozzy over at, hold on, let me bring her back on. Can you pronounce your just so I don't butcher it?
Rozzy Kuhn.
Rozzy Kuhn. Okay, my friend. We'll talk to you later. All right.
Bye, guys.
Rozzy Kuhn over at R-O-Z-Z-I-K-E-U-N-E. Rozzy Kuhn over on Instagram. Go and follow her, find her, listen, learn. See how she's doing it, and you know, lift her up and support her just as you know, you want to be supported as well. That's what really I think a main benefit of this community is that we have like all these people in the community who understand what we're doing and are able to root each other on, just like you all are doing in the comments this morning. Thank you for the wonderful comments. I hope Rozzy gets a chance to go back and review these, because just so much positive feedback and awesome comments and great shares too. I mean, Rozzy was sharing about her, you know, which is such a courageous thing to do, like sharing about your personal financial situation and information with student loan debts. But it look at what it does. It brings out so much ability to identify and relate, right? And even if you don't have that experience, you can understand it, right? Like, I don't have that experience, but I understand it. And it helps me to understand you more. And so now I trust you more. I like you more. I want to listen to you more because you've given me a part of yourself that you didn't have to. So awesome comments, awesome shares in the comment section. And we just appreciate all of you so much. We'll see you back here tomorrow for another episode. As you know, we've got a new challenge that's launching, just a couple of final T's that are getting crossed and I's that are getting dotted. We invite you to stay plugged in, watch your email for that. If you're going through a 15-day challenge right now, go through it. It's awesome. It's going to stay in place. It's going to be there. We're just going to be launching a new challenge that's going to be 5 days, and we're going to be having that as our main front-end offer moving forward, kind of condensing and consolidating a lot of that content into 5 days. So watch out for that. It's coming here any moment. We're just, again, putting a couple of final tweaks, you know, dotting those I's, crossing those T's, and making sure that it's all ready to rock. It's awesome. It's our best work. And it's we're really excited for you all to see that. Also, to, you know, if you are an affiliate, I've made some important announcements yesterday. Go back and watch yesterday's video. Not going to go over all those things again today, but if you missed kind of the state of the union, go back and watch yesterday's episode or listen to it. Remember, we upload all these episodes on all the major podcast platforms. Just search for Wake Up Legendary. That'll take you to it. Wake Up Legendary. We usually are able to get the episodes up same day. Okay. You can, of course, also access all of the episodes right here on the Facebook business page. So rewatch them here as well. We also upload them over to the YouTube channel. You can just type in, I think it's under David Sharp on YouTube. So there's lots of places to get both to rewatch episodes, as well as to go back and watch, you know, past ones, like I said yesterday, that has a lot of updates. This episode today is also worth a re-listen. There was some really, really awesome talking points and incredible nuggets that Rozzy dropped for us. I can't wait to speak to her again in the near future and kind of track her journey as she continues to rock it. She's doing awesome. She's an incredible example of what we can do when we kind of put our minds to something and decide. She's busy. She's got a lot going on. She's still prioritizing herself and her future in this kind of additional business that she's running in parallel with her full-time job as a lawyer. Think about that. I always admire people who are doing a lot like that and making tough decisions and making sacrifices. So my friends, we will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day. Be legendary. Get out of here. Thanks again, Rozzy, for an amazing episode. And we'll see you tomorrow for the next episode. Get out of here. Peace.